Hello, hello. Welcome to Sports Day Cowboys, a podcast all about the Dallas Cowboys, brought to you by the Dallas Morning News. I'm Calvin Watkins.
And I'm Michael Gelkin. We're two Cowboys beat writers having a weekly real talk conversation about the latest with the team, including interviews, analysis, and debate. Hey, look, the sky is no longer falling in Dallas. Thanks for being with us.
Michael, we have a Cowboys team that's 500. Oh my goodness. Cooper Rush is the man. Micah Parsons has always been the man. And now we got the New York Football Giants waiting.
Before we talk Monday Night Football, we'll explore the apparent latest big-time draft hit for the Cowboys. Their suddenly less ominous look at wide receiver. Also, there is bad news for the Cowboys at quarterback, but it's not what you think.
And we're going to speak with my main man, Pat Leonard, who's the Giants beat writer for the New York Daily News. He will have some insights into Monday's matchup.
That's all coming up, so stay with us.
Welcome back to Sports Day's Cowboys podcast, brought to you by the Dallas Morning News with Michael Gelkin. I'm Calvin Watkins. Michael, let's talk about week two. The Cowboys needed a 50-yard field goal at the buzzer. The buzzer to beat the Bengals. What does it mean?
Well, you know Brett Maher is going to make that. He's 3 for 3, all of his makes so far from 50 or longer. Well, when I think of week two, I think good news and bad news. You want to go good news first or bad news, Calvin?
Let me think about this. Let's go to good news. Good news.
All right, good news. Good news. Left tackle Tyler Smith, rookie first-round draft pick, looks like a player. I know we talked about him a couple episodes ago. You said, let's not put him in the Ring of Honor yet. Now we've got game film on him. And the jump that he made from the first game at left tackle, someone who was considered raw coming out of the draft, then he didn't play left tackle in training camp or the preseason. The jump from week one to week two, I thought was stark and a real positive indicator about what's to come for him.
You know, earlier this week, I asked Kellen Moore about Tyler Smith, and he says, I love him. And I remember me and you had talked about Tyler Smith in our first episode and how I was a little hesitant I wasn't as confident as you were about Tyler Smith because I needed to see the man play games.
Understandable.
And No, it's okay. And after two games, I like what I see. He's a very physical player, which is what you need to be at that position. He does get some help, and that's okay because he's a rookie. But for the most part, you can't say he's had two failing grades this season.
No, and it's funny. I think being an NFL reporter over the course of your career, Calvin, you back me up on this. You've heard coaches or teammates talk about a player, and because they're asked about that player, they have to speak highly about that player. And over the course of your career, based on how you get to know those players that you're asking the question or get to know those coaches, you can kind of tell the difference between when the praise is really authentic and when they're just saying something nice because you put them on the spot in front of cameras. And the way Kellen Moore's face lit up when you asked him about Tyler Smith and the youth on the offensive line, I thought was really indicative of just how the Cowboys feel. So it wasn't only what Kellen Moore said about Tyler Smith, it was how he looked when he was describing just how pleased he was with his performance thus far.
You know, and I got some more good news for you. Your boy Noah Brown has taken some pressure off CeeDee Lamb. And you know what else? Michael Gallup might be getting closer to playing. He might be playing before Dak Prescott, even though the Cowboys are trying to push Dak Prescott. What do you think about Noah Brown? I just think this is a great story too.
It is a great story. I mean, I spoke with CeeDee Lamb in the locker room last Wednesday or Thursday, I forget what exact date it was, and we talked for 10 minutes. It was just at his locker, and we were going over week one, the disappointment, and at one point, CD said, you know, I asked him, like, you know, you guys really need is just some wide receivers to step up so they could kind of make the defenses pay the price for putting this much attention on you and devoting so much resources toward you. And he was like, that's what we need this Sunday. We need other guys to step up, and that's exactly what happened with Noah Brown. He scores his first career touchdown, which, given he's been in the league for several years, you can see the excitement from Cowboys teammates and coaches. Ezekiel Elliott sprinted to get the football to make sure that Noah Brown had that football as a keepsake. And then just over the course of the game, when Noah Brown needed to step up, he did, including on a critical fourth down in that first touchdown drive. So I thought it was really impressive what the Cowboys needed. It was just one game, but that is, to me, a major development for there to be evidence on tape. Every team that has the Cowboys on the schedule, starting with the Giants coming up on Monday night, can see that, oh, Noah Brown, that guy can actually make plays. But let's keep that in mind.
All right, let's go over to bad news, because you know we like talking about bad news here. You tell us, what's the bad news?
Yeah, so the bad news, you tell me, maybe I'm being dramatic, but I was watching that Monday Night Football game, Philadelphia Eagles. Is Dak Prescott no longer the obvious number one quarterback in the division? Because Jalen Hurts, did you see him, how good he looked?
Yes. Now, you might not remember this, but I did pick the Eagles to win the NFC East in the Dallas Morning News football section preview, okay?
You did.
I did. Now, I did say, like, our boss, Damon Marks, he's well, when I say boss, he's really our editor. He asked me to rank guys in the division, you know, so I had the best quarterback in the division, and I had Dak. But Jalen Hurts was, I think, number two, I believe, and it doesn't surprise me. Jalen Hurts could play, man. And the Cowboys, and me and you, I think we could agree, they have a very good defense. They swarm to the ball. They got speed. They set the edge. They get pressure up the middle. They got a great pass rusher, Micah Parsons. I thought Dorrance Armstrong's two sacks, really, he's really emerging. But Jalen Hurts is a problem. And I don't know if he is the number one quarterback right now, because everyone loves a backup quarterback story, and that's what we get in Cooper Rush, but –
You think Cooper Rush might be the number one quarterback in the division?
Maybe. Can I sleep on that?
Yeah.
Sleep on that? Thank you. Thank you for letting me sleep on that. But is he the number one guy to you?
Jalen Hurts? God, yeah. I don't know. It's the way that people in Philadelphia talk about Jalen, the way his work ethic is, the way his leadership is, the way that whatever his ceiling is, he's going to reach it just because of that work ethic. It reminds me of how people in Dallas talk about Dak. Just those intangibles around the building. So I think it's very clear that the arrow is pointing up, dramatically up.
You sound like Jerry now, arrow pointing up.
Yeah, there you go. I'm starting to speak Jerry. I've listened to him so much. It was only a matter of time. But so I guess when I look at the development of Jalen Hurts, I'm wondering just how good is he going to get? And if this is him right now, I think it's a very, very scary development for the Cowboys and the NFC East. I mean, hey, it's the NFL. You expect competition. And so to paint it maybe as bad news, I don't know if that's in a way the locker room sees it. It wouldn't be, because they're just going to focus on their job. But I think on the big picture, it's changing the landscape of the NFC East. And it is very much relevant in terms of, you know, for years, it was Dak and everyone else in that division at quarterback. And that's no longer the case.
I was trying to remember the last time the Eagles had like a top quarterback in the division. And I had to go back to Donovan McNabb, because a lot of people were mad at Donovan McNabb. But when you looked at the division back then in his prime, he was the best quarterback in the division. And now you fast forward maybe 10, 12 years, it's Dak Prescott, obviously. But like you said, Jalen Hurts, man, the Eagles are going to be a problem. They had a great draft. They made a great trade for A.J. Brown. You know, they elevated their team. Unlike the team that we covered, which kind of, I don't know what they did. But anyway, the Eagles elevated their talent, you know, and you saw it in that Monday night game. I mean, the Eagles, I've always thought, probably have, since I picked them to win the division, the best talent in the division. It's only a matter of just proving it on the field. Kind of like this game Monday night with the Giants and the Cowboys. The Giants are 2-0, Cowboys are 1-1, and if the Giants say who we think they are, they will knock off the Cowboys and prove themselves that, hey, we're going to be one of the best teams in the division, you know, but we'll find out. And speaking of Monday night, one of our favorite people in the whole wide world, Pat Leonard of the New York Daily News, will join us coming up next on Sports Day Cowboys.
Calvin, it's time we learn more about the undefeated New York Giants. I'm confused. They are 2-0, wins at the Titans and versus the Panthers. Won those games by a combined 4 points. No one is taking them seriously, but hey, maybe we should be.
Maybe we should. Now let's talk to someone who would know. Pat Leonard has been the Giants beat writer for the New York Daily News for the last 7 years. Pat has a podcast himself, Talkin' Ball with Pat Leonard. So now we're Talkin' Ball with Pat.
Pat, thanks so much for joining us. And right off the bat, I'm hoping you can clarify something. I'm looking at the NFC standings. The Commanders are 1-1, okay. Cowboys, 1-1, sure. Eagles, 2-0, no doubt. The Giants, 2-0. Is that for real?
It's for real. It's a good question. In the sense that they have played the strategy for each game that would keep them in it in the fourth quarter and give them a chance. And then really every Giants fan feels the same way you do looking at that record, is so many times in the recent years, those close games have gone the other way. Like, I was laughing with Graham Gano, the kicker who makes the 56 yarder to lift them over the Panthers in week two. A few years ago, he was in Carolina making a 63 yard field goal at the buzzer to beat the Giants in Carolina in Charlotte, 33-31. So hopefully, the tides have turned, it's come full circle, and now I guess fortune is a little bit on their side. But Brian Daboll and Don Wink Martindale, the defensive coordinator, primarily, they're kind of leaning on that defense, they're keeping it close, and then they're making some plays. So yes, I think it would be unfair right now to say it's not for real after 2 weeks.
Is this the Saquon Barkley we were supposed to see when another general manager selected him?
Oh boy. Yeah. And hey, you bring up a great point there, Calvin, too, is, listen, if Saquon turns it around and turns into the star, that's Dave Gettleman's pick. He deserves credit for that, right? We've mm-hmm. all banged on that pick for years, but yes, the answer is yes. This is the version of Saquon Barkley that we saw as a rookie, but maybe even a little bit slighter, a little bit more hard-nosed as far as putting his head down on these hard interior runs. And frankly, one of the plays that impressed me the most, he's never been a good pass protector. It's not that he hasn't tried, it's that he's not good at it. But it's surprising because he's a strong guy, he's got a good base. It's just the technique hasn't been there. Anyway, Daniel Jones made the throw of the game to turn the Carolina win. And it was a third down, I think it was 3rd and 9. He makes a throw over the middle of Richie James. And Saquon Barkley picks up a blitzing linebacker and stands him up in his tracks. And so the Tennessee game, the Nashville game, Barkley after week one leading the NFL, in rushing, in total yards. That was the new improved version of Saquon, no doubt, as a weapon. But more encouraging to me as we moved on here is that he's doing some of these little things that in the past, you guys probably remember, they had a game against the Jets a few years ago where Jamal Adams blasts through to the backfield, rips the ball out of Daniel Jones's hands and runs into the end zone. It was embarrassing. Barkley had a play in Detroit a couple of years ago where Jared Davis, the linebacker for the Detroit Lions, ran him over, sacks Jones, fumble, score for a touchdown. So those details are what's showing up for Barkley right now, not just when he has the ball in his hands.
The Cowboys had something strange happen in late April. Certainly strange for other places. I guess in Dallas, it's not so strange, where the owner of the team, Jerry Jones, flashes the draft board to a room full of reporters. And so we're able to say declaratively that the Cowboys on their draft board had Kayvon Thibodeau, number one, Evan Neal, number two, both players drafted by the New York Giants. Can you give us an update on their time here thus far?
Yeah, that was, I remember when that happened, I started seeing your guys' photos of that. I was rubbing my eyes, literally sitting here on my couch. Is this real?
Oh, it's real. And it's beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah. You're jealous sometimes that you're not covering the Dallas Cowboys, watching moments like that. It seems exciting. It always keeps you on your toes. But, here's what's happening right now. Thibodeau has not played yet. He has a sprained MCL in his right knee. He was saying prior to week two that he was optimistic he was going to play against Carolina. So as long as he doesn't have a setback, I do think there's a good chance he makes his NFL debut against the Cowboys on Monday night. We don't know that for sure, but that's at least the way it was trending. And then Evan Neal is playing right tackle. They started him there right from the jump because they already had Andrew Thomas, who was their number four overall pick a couple years back out of Georgia. So Neal started right from the jump at right tackle. That's actually part of the reason they drafted him, because he played several different spots on the O-line and they thought, we're going to slot him there, and he's done it before at Alabama in the SEC. Up and down, I think the whole offensive line for them has been up and down outside of Thomas at left tackle, who's been excellent. So Neal's learning on the job. The Giants offensive line definitely run blocks better than they pass block. The pass blocking has not been great. And I actually think that, you know, and I'm not even just talking about Neal being a rookie here, but just the Giants O-line versus the Cowboys front, I think is going to be an enormous challenge for New York, even with the Giants defense not having to contend with Dak Prescott.
One of the things I liked about the Giants was that when they beat Carolina, it was a scrappy game. But week one, they go down to Tennessee, and the easiest thing to do is to kick the PAT, let's tie the game, let's go to overtime. But your head coach says, let's go for two because we're going to play to win the ball game on the road, and they do that. And tell us something about the head coach. And he's from Buffalo and all that, and he's a smart guy. And is he a gambler, or is he just – that was just a one-time thing?
He's not a gambler, but he is a risk taker. And more than anything, Calvin, you know, the important thing there, and obviously if they don't get it and the result happens differently, maybe it gets framed differently afterwards. But
oh, it's going to get framed on the back pages of the Daily News. I know that.
Well, that's for sure. But what I found in the locker room after that game was that the players appreciated, regardless of the outcome, that he was a man of his word, because the night before the game, during training camp, in the spring, when he first met the players, he had consistently said to them two things. One, we are going to be aggressive. But two, when the game is on the line, I am going to put the ball in your hands. This is a player's game. It's not about me. It's about you. And so in the locker room afterwards, talking to guys like Saquon Barkley, Daniel Jones, Kenny Galladay, Sterling Shepard, and even players on the defense who, you know, we're a little uneasy, I think, at first, because they had basically kept them in the game. And then it was like, wait, no, don't give it away. But all those players to a man said to me and to others that Dable told us this is what he was going to do. And the first opportunity he had to do it, he did. And that definitely meant something, especially because, you know, here in New York, it's been a head coach every 2 years and out. New guy comes in, tries to establish something, really doesn't even have time to set a foundation before he's out and getting paid to sit on his couch. So Dable's trying to create buy-in with a team that everybody knew coming in, low expectations were low. And so that was the most important thing about that call. Not just that they got it, that they got the win. And actually, Calvin, they didn't execute the play very well. Saquon Barkley basically bailed them out and made a couple guys miss, broke a tackle, got into the end zone. So
it was like a shovel pass, I think, right?
Yeah, Jones shoveled it. And then there was an unblocked linebacker right in Barkley's face. And Barkley kind of juked inside, and then ran over one of the Titans' corners into the end zone. So, you know, important, though, that he set that tone. You could tell from the players' attitudes that it meant something to them.
Before we ask you about maybe a prediction, Pat, for Monday night, I wanted to go back to the key matchup that you highlighted, where the Giants' offensive line against the Cowboys' defensive front. Mm-hmm. Cowboys are coming off a game where Micah Parsons wrecked the game in a win over the Bengals. And I look at the Giants offensive line, and Andrew Thomas seems like one of the best young football players in the league at left tackle and right tackle. You mentioned Evan Neal figuring things out. That seems like a potential stress point to have Parsons aligned over the right tackle. But I was just curious, one, how good is Andrew Thomas? And your impressions of him, but also, do you think that could be a potential challenge for New York?
No, it's a great question, Michael. First of all, start with Thomas. The concern with him after last season, when he played well when he was healthy, it wasn't as much his play coming into this year. It was more, would he be healthy? Because he had a second ankle surgery on the same ankle 2 years in a row. Essentially, they didn't clean everything out that they thought they had the previous year. So he had that right after last season, but deep into camp, there were days where he was laboring when he would jog from drill to drill. He didn't look right. He was limping hard. So that was more the question than anything. And then so far through two games, you know, nothing's been perfect, but you are right when you say he looks like an excellent player out on the left side, on the blind side of Daniel Jones, and could be for a long time. The challenge for the Giants, obviously, is that Parsons moves around in Dan Quinn's defense, right? Like you said, they can create stress points by moving him to someone else. They can also do it by sending extra pressure. And frankly, the Giants just are not settled and excellent at left guard, whether it's Ben Bredesen or Josh Azudu. John Feliciano at center is an animal.
Yeah, he is.
But he's not going to win every battle.
He sounds like a guy from Brooklyn, but just with that name.
He does.
Wants to fight everybody. I covered him in Oakland. He wants to fight everybody.
He's fun and he's honest too. Like after the game against Carolina, he openly thanked the defense to me in the locker room for winning the game, basically saying the offense had to do more. But here's the stat for you guys on this question. The Giants, now first two things. One, Daniel Jones was pressured 16 times against Tennessee and 14 against Carolina. That's a lot. Two, though, is that the Giants did not turn the ball over against the Panthers, even though he was pressured a fair amount. They did not turn the ball over, and they still barely won the game by 3 points. So when I look at this matchup, I say, is Micah Parsons, is the Cowboys pass rush really not going to force a fumble or a rush throw and a turnover? And if the Giants are winning these games so tightly, will they be able to overcome that? And I just find it hard to believe Dallas isn't going to force them into some mistakes because of the matchup you mentioned, Michael.
This has on paper to me, because the Cowboys offense has been so up and down, this might be a defensive game, you know, mm-hmm. just based on what we've seen in the first 2 weeks of the season. Let's wrap it up and let's get some predictions from you, because you're so closely involved there in the swamp and with the Giants. How do you think this game is going to go?
I think you hit it on the head. I think it's going to be a defensive game. You know, it wouldn't surprise me if it's 17-16 Cowboys or 20-13 Cowboys, something like
that. Great ratings for ESPN. That's what they want.
You know, I think, look at the Jalen Smith signing, right? Don Martindale, Wink Martindale, the Giants defensive coordinator. Every week they've been changing things up based on what kind of game they're expecting. They released Blake Martinez right before the season. Their inside linebackers aren't very good. They didn't go and sign a guy like Jalen last week when they had three safeties on the field to contend with the speed of Christian McCaffrey as a running back and pass threat. But now this tells me they're signing Jalen Smith. Yeah, he's on the practice squad. They'll elevate him. He'll play because they are expecting a run-heavy attack from the Cowboys. How could you not? And they need more speed and more experience inside the box. And so I think you're going to see Dallas try to establish that run game and take some shots. I think you're going to see the Giants probably try and hunker down and protect Daniel Jones and take a few opportunistic shots. But it's really going to be Barkley versus Zeke and Pollard, in my opinion. So the score stays low, and I think one or two big Cowboys turnovers leads to a, you know, let's go 20-13 Cowboys.
You got Dallas getting 20 points. Okay.
Yeah, the pick six, fumble return for a touchdown, you know.
I love that. Well, Pat, we appreciate you, man. Thanks for joining us on the Sports State Cowboys podcast. And, you know, we air every Thursday. And I know you got an exciting podcast as well with the Daily News, Talking Ball with Pat Leonard. And Michael, you want to say goodbye to Pat, or you want to say hello to him when you see him on Monday night?
I'd like to do both. Both goodbye, Pat, and I look forward to seeing you on Monday.
Calvin, Michael, thank you so much for having me on. Really appreciate it.
Now, coming up next, we'll talk about everyone's favorite coordinator, Kellen Moore, in our I Disagree segment.
Hey, listeners. This is Damon Marks. I'm the Cowboys editor for the Dallas Morning News. That includes the Sports Day Cowboys podcast that you're listening to right now. What I love about this beat is the nonstop news cycle that is the Dallas Cowboys. But beyond that daily adrenaline rush, being able to reveal the human side of the players you watch on TV is a privilege. Calvin and Michael talk to these players each week to bring you the behind-the-scenes stories that you can't get anywhere else. If you want to support this good work, it's easy. Just subscribe to the Dallas Morning News and become a member. You'll find a special offer just for listeners at dallasnews.com/listen.
All right, Calvin, you know that I like how we often see things differently. It's not just for show. This is our dynamic away from Sports Day Cowboys. I heard you got something on your mind. Hit me with it.
I do. Now, just based on the first two games, and quite frankly, the last couple of years, Kellen Moore isn't the right play caller for the Dallas Cowboys.
I disagree. It is September 22nd right now, a Thursday going into week 3 of the NFL season, he is the right play caller for the Cowboys today. I probably want a little bit of clarity. I don't know if you're suggesting that Mike McCarthy needs to take over the reins, or you're saying at the end of the season the Cowboys need to move on from Kellen Moore, who's coming off a season in which the Cowboys led the NFL in points, led the NFL in total yards, and by the way, he's 34 years old. So I want to get a little bit of clarity before I go all the way in on this, but
okay.
Kellen Moore should be the play caller today for the Dallas Cowboys. Do you want Mike McCarthy to take over right now?
You mentioned that Kellen Moore is 34 years of age. I don't care if he's 74 years of age. This man's led an offense in the first 2 weeks of the season to 2 touchdowns the whole year. Last week, I thought the first 2 possessions of the game, they were looking good. Wouldn't you agree? They look
sure,
good.
Sure. Look right? Great. 2 touchdowns. Hard to complain.
It's hard to complain. The next 7 possessions, they managed 1 field goal. Yeah. And that's just ridiculous. I mean, and I like Kellen Moore. He's a smart guy, but he's got too much of the Jason Garrett DNA in him. And because of that, the Cowboys cannot go where they want to go with Kellen Moore. Sometimes he's too aggressive, and then the head coach has to say, hey, man, you got to be conservative because don't you see the running game is going good? Like Ezekiel Elliott, the first 2 weeks of the season has been, I'm not saying the best running back in the league, but I'm saying there's no complaints about the running game. In the opener, he got away from the running game, and the running game was going fantastic. Week 2, the running game was going good, and they had the lead, so I was okay with how he ran the ball. Like I was texting somebody outside of the Cowboys organization, and I said, what do you think about the running game? And he said, I think Zeke should run the ball more. I mean, come on, man. Kellen Moore has to be smarter than this. Mike McCarthy talked about that after the Week 1 loss to Tampa. I just don't see Kellen Moore long-term as an effective play caller.
You want to use the fact that the Cowboys haven't been able to run the ball enough as a reason that Kellen Moore is not the guy. Kellen wants to run the ball more. What Kellen doesn't want is to have a third down conversion rate of 24%. That is dead last in the NFL, tied with the Arizona Cardinals. That is, if you want to pick a spot to criticize and say it needs to be better, that's what needs to be better. Because if you can convert third downs, then you have drives being sustained. Then you're able to run the ball with better consistency. That has been the issue that has really held back the Cowboys' run game. It's really held back their offense altogether. So I am with you in some respects of things need to get better. But I also recognize the fact of the personnel challenges that he's had to handle going into the season where, yeah, it hasn't been great in terms of the wide receiver depth. When you move on from Amari Cooper, when you move on to Cedric Wilson, when you've got an undrafted rookie, Dennis Houston, who is seeing more snaps than your rookie third-round pick, Jalen Tolbert. I mean, shoot, linebacker Luke Gifford at fullback, he has seen more offensive snaps than Jalen Tolbert so far. And that's not to criticize Jalen Tolbert. You know, you could probably say the Cowboys put too much on his plate early on, especially after the spring when he had the hamstring issue that limited him in OTAs. But overall, I think some of the limitations that the Cowboys have had under Kellen Moore this year, because I know we're not talking about last year overall in terms of the larger body of work. We could get nitty-gritty about how they attacked his own coverage at certain points. But I think overall, the positive outweighs the negative for a young, rising, certainly a young offensive coordinator. We'll see the level. You know, I don't want to say the arrow's pointing up on everybody, but I think Kellen Moore does a lot of positive things with this offense. I think he's really creative in some important ways. Personnel groupings. You saw an adaptation where the Cowboys weren't just going to go 11 personnel all game against the Bengals the way they by and large did against the Buccaneers Week 1. Those multiple personnel groupings, I thought, were a big part of the reason why the Cowboys had such success in their first 2 drives. You've seen the creativity with how they use different players, including Tony Pollard more in the passing game. I think that still can kind of come to fruition more as the season goes. I don't know. I just think we aren't there on the level of criticism that you're levying on Kellen Moore. I still don't know if you want to change today or if you're suggesting at the end of the season, because we're a long ways away from that. We're Week 2 and we're going into Week 3, and you saw how different the tone has been around this team after 1 week from Week 1 to Week 2. So let's just see. It's too early. This is premature. I think you're a little bit over your skis on this. Let's monitor the situation, sure. But with the personnel issues the Cowboys are working through, quarterback, receiver, young offensive line, I don't know what your expectation was for Kellen Moore, but it was probably a little too high at this stage of the year.
This man wants to be a head coach in the National Football League. My expectations are not high. As Mike Tomlin, the Steelers coach, likes to say, the standard is the standard. If you want to be a head coach, you got to produce, bro. The first seven games of last year, the Cowboys were averaging over 30 points a game. Since that loss to the Broncos, where everything has gone haywire for them, this team is a 500 team, and they're averaging just 25 points a game. Now, you could say, oh, 25 points a game, that's a lot. And they were the number one offense and all that kind of stuff, but they have not looked like a number one offense, especially in that 49er playoff loss, you know, especially in week one to Tampa. Yes, they don't have Amari Cooper. They don't have Lyle Collins. They don't have Tyron Smith. Yeah. It's a business. You got to get it done on the football field. How are you evaluating your talent, you know? And you know what? I agree with you. Jalen Tolbert might be the next Jerry Rice, but right now the man can't get on the field. Okay, so there's something wrong there with either the front office, the coaches, the player himself. There's some disconnect there. But you got Zeke Elliott, you got Dak, you got Zach Martin, you got CeeDee Lamb. Remember him? I mean, can you scheme him up a little bit?
Well, this is great news for Cowboys fans because this is our third I Disagree segment, our third Sports Day Cowboys podcast.
Here we go.
Our first I Disagree. I said Micah Parsons was very close to being considered widely as the number one defender in the NFL. I think he's well on his way to that through the first 2 weeks of the season, leads the NFL in sacks and so forth. Last week, episode two, You said the Cowboys made a mistake by letting Lyle Collins go, and boy, did he struggle against Parsons, and Darren Steele had himself a nice bounce-back game. So we've established, if nothing else, during this episode, that the Cowboys are scoring 30 points. Kellen Moore is going to be dialing it up in New Jersey on Monday night. You know what? The Cowboys should send you a bread basket or some roses or something like that for the thank you, because you really set them up for success.
Throw me some roses, baby. Throw me some roses. That's what I love. That's what I want.
All right, Calvin, now that you got your bouquet, that's all the time that we have on Sports Day Cowboys this week. Thank you so much, everyone, for listening.
The show is produced by Damon Marks, and you can stay up to date on every episode by following Sports Day Cowboys wherever you get your audio, including Apple Podcasts and Spotify. You can also find the show and more audio from our newsroom by following the Dallas Morning News in those same players.
Find links to everything we do at dallasnews.com/listen. You'll also find a special membership offer there just for listeners.
And we also want to hear more from you. So email us your questions, comments, and voice memos at dmncowboys@dallasnews.com. You can also ping us directly on Twitter @dmn_cowboys. And, oh yeah, on Facebook @CowboysFanCentral. For the news, I'm Calvin Watkins.
And I'm Michael Gelkin. We'll see you again next week.